Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get 'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, our parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Y'all tell the people that, no?
Well, glory, hallelujah. Welcome, 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 everyone, to God in the Midst, Get 'em Radio. This is our Thursday night edition. Hallelujah. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. You are the Holy One, the Mighty One, the altogether lovely One. Hallelujah. And we thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Lord God, we bless your name today. We bless your name today. And we thank you that your word says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. We thank you for being in the midst tonight. Lord, we're excited about you. We're excited about what you are doing, what you are teaching us through our speakers tonight, Lord God, and we want to hear you, even in the midst of what you're teaching. We want to hear you. We want to see you. We want to experience you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. Now we thank you for our speaker tonight, Lord God. We thank you for just touching her right now, in the name of Jesus, and then even her husband where he is right now, touch him as well, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for this special time together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is our part two of the five love languages with Minister Mary and Minister Lenny Yarbrough. Well, this week, Lenny needed to go out of town. So he's out of town right now, but Minister Mary is pinch hitting for him tonight. Amen. And, you know, after 40 years together, the two are one. Hallelujah. So we're going to hear his notes and her notes as well. We don't want to take too much time now. We want to get right into it to give her an opportunity to just teach us as much as possible. So I know she's going to do a review of what they talked about last week and then go on further with us. So without any further ado, I want to present to some and, well, introduce to some and present to all Minister Mary Yarbrough. Welcome, Minister Mary.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you so much for having me back again. I really appreciate it. I just praise the Lord. I just thank the Lord for being in the midst of us today, and I just yield myself to him. I yield myself to you, Lord, and you just have your way tonight, Lord God, and you just touch hearts the way that you need to touch hearts, touch all relationships, marital relationships, children and parents relationship, even coworkers and work relationships, and all relationships all around, even church member relationships, Lord. Just have your way with us tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much just for being with us. So I just want to thank you guys for inviting me again. As Apostle Bobby said, Lenny is out of town. He's he went back to where we went to college at, Texas Southern, and they are honoring our band director, and so he's a part of that this weekend, and he is thrilled to do that, and this is just something that he just loves to do. So I'm glad he had an opportunity to do that. Even though he's not here with me now, he still had a hand in everything, helping me to prepare for tonight, going over things with me, things that, you know, he wanted me to bring out tonight. So he is definitely still a part of this session tonight. So we're going to get right into it. So this session, we are going to continue to learn about the five languages of love. So as a recap, you know, we introduced you to the five languages of love, and it is a book written by Dr. Gary Chapman. So I want to give Dr. Gary Chapman all of his props. He is a therapist, and he has written this book called The Five Languages of Love. And it is a book about marriage, but he has expanded the five languages of love to all relationships, marital relationships, relationships between parents and children, and relationships even with single folks, and also relationships even in the workplace. And that book, the one with the relationships between folks in the workplace, is called The Five Languages of Appreciation. So I am so grateful that, you know, God has allowed him to bring out some things here in this book that have been very helpful to me and Lenny over the years. So if you can recall, the five languages of love are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of services, and physical touch. Now, last week, we looked at the first love language, which was words of affirmation. That's the one that we learned about last week. So just to go over some of what we talked about in the book, we talked about everyone has a love tank. And what the love tank basically is, it represents our emotional need for love. So everyone has that emotional need for love. And we talked about the effects of when a person's love tank is full and when a person's love tank is empty. Of course, you know, there's positive things that happen to a person when their love tank is full, where they are, you know, they grow up to be happy, healthy, functional adults. And, of course, when that love tank is empty, then there is dysfunction. There's hurt, and then there's stagnant growth. So we want to strive to have our love tanks filled. And one of the things about this book and learning the five love languages is that within yourself, you have like a self-reflection where you even begin to recognize, what is it that I need to feel loved? And that helps you to verbalize that to your spouse and even recognize it in your children or recognize it, you know, in your coworkers. And you're able to give, you know, love to people when you can recognize what type of language they're speaking. And you have an opportunity to fill someone else's love tank. And then you have an opportunity to have your love tank filled by telling, you know, your spouse, your children, what you need and what makes you feel like you're loved. Then we also talked about the falling in love experience, where it is that romantic obsession, and generally that only lasts about 2 years. So at some point you have to, in a relationship, whether it's a marriage, whether it's children, whether it's any type of relationship, you have to make the choice to love. Then we also talked about introducing those five love languages, and we talked about introducing the words of affirmation. Now, words of affirmation are words that you express to show love. If you guys remember that, we went over that last week. And there are different dialects for the words of affirmation. We talked about verbal compliments, where you actually give words that motivate your spouse or who you're in a relationship with. We talked about encouraging words, words that allow the person to have courage. So we talked about that there may be a spouse that has a hidden talent and they have that words of affirmation love language, and their spouse can give them encouraging words to help bring out that hidden talent. Then we talk about the next dialect, which is kind words, which is a verbal form of love where, you know, you get a chance to speak kind words and you soften your tone and you speak words to your spouse that are kind and loving. And then the last one that we talked about was humble words. And that's using your words to make a request without being demanding. So those are some of the things that we talked about last week. So, Apostle Bobby, you can jump in at any time if any of those things kind of stood out to you.
You're welcome. Well, you know what I thought about that, that 2 years, that falling in love experience lasts for 2 years. And what I was thinking about is a friend of mine, she had a saying, and she would look at a couple if they were, you know, they looked like things were going on in their marriage or whatever, and she would say, it looked like the honey just dripped off the moon. So,
oh, boy.
So in those kind of experiences, you know, unless we work on them, then the honey drops off the moon after a couple of years. And then also thinking about this is good that you're doing a recap of all of this because we need that reinforcement. And I thought about the encouraging words that give courage. And I remember, now this is between me and Pastor Price, when I first started in the ministry, she would give me so many encouraging words, and that would give me courage to step out more on the word of God. So I'm just listening, and that does help, you know, when you get those encouraging words to motivate you to go even further. So, amen. Good, good.
That's good. So what we concluded is that either speaking or writing words of encouragement received by a person, that those words matter. They really do matter, that a person who has that love language of words of affirmation, words to them really, really do matter. So it doesn't mean that people who have other love languages, that the words don't matter to them, but it's those folks that have that words of affirmation, words just mean just a lot more to them. So we want to strive to fill, you know, their love tank, a love tank that evokes love, appreciation, and respect, you know, for each other. So filling those love tanks is really an essential part to the existence of a marriage, and not only just to a marriage, but to any relationship. Can you imagine in a workplace where words don't matter and people just say, you know, whatever they want to say without any regard to how other people will receive it? That would, I would think in a workplace, that would be termed as a toxic workplace, you know, or even, you know, in a church situation where words don't matter, and, you know, and people just, you know, kind of say all manner of things without any regard for anyone else's feelings, without respect, then that would be a toxic situation as well. So learning to speak loving words, words of appreciation, and then words of respect for one another, even in our homes with our family, learning to do that. And sometimes spouses get married and they come from different backgrounds, where that might not be the case, but thanks be to God, he teaches us different ways, especially from his word. If you were to look at the Proverbs, Proverbs talks a lot about the words that we speak. The book of James talks about the words that we speak. So evidently it's very important to God, and certainly, you know, words matter to God. You know, He created the universe.
Amen.
By his word. So words do matter. And this is an important part in relationships. All right. So now what we're here today to discuss is quality time. That's the next love language out of the five.
Now, I want to say a little bit, just a few sentences or so off of the word, and giving all those motivational words, encouraging, kind, humble words, all of that, when it comes out of the love of God, then that's when it really, quote-unquote, works. So, I mean, we can get some positive affirmations and all of that, but it doesn't really work really the way God wants it to work unless it's out of a heart of love. Amen.
Yes, praise God. Praise God. You're absolutely correct in saying that. Now, I forgot one other thing that we talked about last week. I kind of gave you guys a little bit of a homework assignment, and
yes.
I listed some couples, married couples, biblical couples, cartoon couples, TV personality couples that we can talk about, you know, what we perceive. We don't know for sure, you know, but what we perceive their love language is. So we talked about biblical couples like Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Rachel, Boaz and Ruth, David and Abigail, Joseph and Mary. And then we talked about some cartoon characters, Fred and Wilma Flintstone, Barney and Betty Rubble, Mickey and Minnie. And then we talked about some TV couples, George and Louise Jefferson, Ricky and Lucy Ricardo, Andre and Rainbow, and then Mike and Carol Brady. So I wanted to stop there for just a moment and talk about maybe a couple of those couples. And there's no right or wrong answer because, you know, we were not, you know, in biblical times, we were not there with them. And, you know, and for characters, like a TV character, you know, we only can go by, you know, what we saw on TV. So there's no right or wrong answer. So let's take Abraham and Sarah. How about that? So think about Abraham and Sarah, and what do we really think that their love languages were, just based on what we know so far? So I kind of think that Abraham was acts of services. He was like a doer. He was like the go-getter. When God said, you know, I want to take you away to a land, and he did it. And I just think he was just a doer. I think Sarah, her love language was probably quality time. I think that it may have been quality time, spending time with Abraham, the longing for a child, to be close to and spend time with the child. I just think that, now I don't know for sure, but that's my guess. But tonight, when we open up the lines, if you have some comments about that, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just for us to converse about it. So, Apostle, what do you think?
What do I think? When we open up the lines, I'll tell you.
All right. All right.
Okay, I'll tell you when we open up the lines. Let me just say that example that you gave helped. That helped, because I was trying to really kind of pin it down in my head, how I could, see what their love language was. And so, and I think as we go on, and we learn more, we'll be able to say more. But I will have something to say by the time we open up the lines, okay?
Let's take another couple. I'm going to do George and Louise Jefferson. Okay. So I think, let me tell you what I think George Jefferson was not. He definitely was not a word of affirmation person. He definitely was not that. I don't think words really mattered to him, because he would say some outlandish things. So I don't think he was words of affirmation. And I don't think he was quality time either, because he liked to work and, spending time with his family. I don't think that was a priority. I think for him, making money was a priority. I do think that maybe he was receiving gifts, because he did lavish his wife with gifts all the time. So I want to say that his love language may have been receiving gifts and giving gifts. That's my take on that. Now, his wife, Louise, I really do think that her love language was, again, quality time, because she longed to spend time with him, with her son, to have good friends around. I think hers was maybe quality time. I don't know. You guys let me know what you think. No right or wrong answer, but maybe we can come up with something.
I think before you said hers was quality time, that's what I thought too.
I tend to agree
with you, and it was a good way that you said, it wasn't words of affirmation, because George could say a whole bunch of stuff.
I don't think words really matter to him.
Yeah, and I think it was the receiving of gifts, especially money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good example, too.
All right, so let's get into tonight's lesson, which is quality time. Right. So the objectives that I have for tonight is I want to define quality time, And then I want to give you the quality time dialect. And then I want to give you some examples, maybe some practical examples of quality time. So quality time, the definition of quality time is simply giving someone your undivided attention. And in giving them that attention, you make that person feel like they are in a safe environment. You make them feel like that they are understood. And you make them feel like that they are heard. So that's what a person who has quality time as their love language, that's what they want. They want to be in a safe environment. They want to be understood, and they want to be heard, and they want that undivided attention. Now, even though I would have loved for my husband to be here with me tonight, I'm glad I got an opportunity to actually present this lesson, because quality time is actually my love language. And I can probably talk about quality time all night long. I can probably give all kinds of examples of quality time because it is what fills my love tank. And I have come to understand that about myself. And I have been able to verbalize to my husband and to my children that is what, you know, actually that's what I'm seeking. That's what I look for. And even to my employees, they all know that at some time, you know how there are some employees that say, well, my manager never spends time with me. They don't have to worry about that with me. They know that at some point I'm going to talk to them, and when I call them on the phone or when, you know, when we're in the building, when I come to their office and visit them, they know, well, you know, I might as well relax because Mary's going to be here for a while. They know that I'm going to sit there and I'm gonna get all of my love tank filled because I'm gonna sit there and spend some quality time with them. So let's talk about this definition of undivided attention. That means focusing on that person without any other distractions. And creating a safe environment for that person. And what I mean by a safe environment, and we'll get even more detail about this, is allowing that person to be themselves. Oftentimes, you know, with a child, you know, in a parent and child relationship, sometimes, you know, children, you know, feel like that they have to hide who they are from their parents. And if you have a child who has this love language of quality time, their love tank is filled when they feel like that they're in a safe environment and they can be who they are. I know when I go to God, when I bust open the doors to the throne room, when I go before the throne and I'm sitting at his feet, I know I can be exactly who I am with him. And for a person whose love language is quality time, that is just so important. And that is so, I mean, it's just everything. And then having the ability to be understood. There's so many people who really feel like that they're not understood. And that is likely that that person has the love language of quality time because they are seeking to be understood. They want to be understood by their spouse. They want to be understood, you know, in all of the relationships that they have. They want to be understood. And then that last one is wanting to be heard. When you give someone that undivided attention, then it opens the door for that person to be heard. Not just, you know, I heard what you said, but actually hearing that person, going beyond the words that the person is saying, going beyond the body language that the person is exhibiting, going beyond that, all of that to really get to the emotion and get to the heart of the matter of that conversation that you're having with that person, and that person really can be heard. So, Bobby, you have any comments about that before we go to our next objective?
Oh, that was good. That was very good. I really enjoyed that. And also, it does help because, you know what, quality time is so important. And in this day and time, the focus on the person without distraction, that's big. You know, because I know myself, I'm multitasking most of the time. You know, if I'm talking to somebody on the phone, they can hear me clicking stuff in the background. Well, what you doing? Oh, I'm putting the medicines together. You know. I'm washing dishes, you know. And so to give somebody quality time, that's precious, to have somebody's undivided attention, you know, for a while. And like you said, it makes a person feel safe. They feel understood. They feel, you know, worth, you know, they're worthy of the time that you're spending with them. And I thought about, you said that the person can be themselves. This is one of my favorite secular songs, okay? Thank you for letting me be myself again.
Yes. That's a good song. That's a good example.
Yeah, so that's what I think about. And I think, you know, this may be my thing here, too, with the quality time, because it's just so good. It's like, oh, I get to talk. I get to share with you, you know, and then we share back and forth with each other and everything. And you feel like you're safe, that you can say those things, especially when I say thank you for letting me be myself. And that's just really saying what God is doing in me. And I don't have to kind of like hold back and not say too many amens and hallelujahs. Say amen, hey, hallelujah, you know, and be myself in the Lord and, you know, talk about what the Lord is doing. So I can do that with my brothers and sisters real good. And we praise God for that.
And, you know, I often, I mentioned this last week, I often think about when I was a child that, you know, how good my mom was at giving me quality time. And she was so busy. She was so busy. She, you know, during the time that I was growing up, it may have been different with you guys, but during the time that I was growing up, you know,
there's
mom
the baby.
She was working, sometimes two different jobs, and she was in school. So she was in college. So during that time, she was really busy. But she always found time to give me that quality time, even if, you know, like I said, she would be in the bed resting or something like that on the weekends or in the evening time. There was nothing for me to just come and crawl up in the bed with her and snuggle with her. And, you know, we would watch a show together or we would just talk. She was really good with me with holding, you know, these, you know, really intimate conversations with me. And, yeah, that was great for her to do that. And I really, you know, think she understood. And I can remember, too, there was one time, and this always sticks out. Mom may not even remember this because it was so long ago, and it was probably just so inconsequential. But I remember I was a little girl, maybe 10 or 11 or 12 or something around that age, and Mom had really great friendships, and one of her friends wanted to go shopping, and Mom said, sure, let's go shopping on, and it was like on a Saturday or something like that. So Mom said, come on, Mary, you're going with me and you're going shopping. So when we got to the lady, we drove to the lady's house to pick her up, and when she got in the car, she said, you brought her with you? You brought your daughter with you? And Mom just disregarded what she said. She says, yes, I did. Now let's go shopping. Mom probably doesn't even remember that or anything because, you know, it was not like a big deal. But for me, that was a big deal because my mom was essentially saying to her, yes, this is my baby, and I'm bringing her with me because I want to spend some time with her too. So that was a big deal for me. Yeah.
All right. Amen.
All right. So I told you I could talk all night about quality time, I'm telling you. So let's get into the next objective, which is talking about the quality time dialects. So there are five dialects, and they are focused attention, quality conversation, learning to talk, dead seas and babbling brooks, and then quality activity. So focused attention is just what it's saying, giving someone full attention and getting rid of all the different kind of distractions. You know, our phones could be distractions, our social media could be distracting. The TV could be distracting. All of those things can be distracting when it comes to quality time. So what you want to do, if this is your loved one dialect, is you want to do a couple of things to kind of help them know that you're paying full attention. One of the things is to, of course, maintain eye contact. And when you're talking to your spouse, it's just, you know, a good thing to look into their eyes and to give them that eye contact. And some of you guys, now this is not for the folks who've been married short period of time, but you kind of, when you kind of been married a long period of time, or when, and it's not even in marriage, but when you've been in a relationship a long period of time, like, you know, with a friendship or, you know, maybe even, you know, a relationship long with a church member or something like that. When you're familiar with someone, sometimes you can tune their voices out. And they may be speaking, and you can hear what they're saying, but you're not really listening. So in order to combat that, it's a good idea to maintain eye contact. When you're maintaining eye contact, then that sort of is a signal that you're listening. Then some other things are, do not do other things, but pay attention. Listen for feelings as well as thoughts. That's when you begin to see through a person, when you can actually see through not just what they're saying and the thoughts that's coming from their brain to their mouth, but you're actually listening for what's behind that, the feelings that are behind that. And then you want to affirm their feelings, sometimes even if you disagree with what their conclusions are. You want to affirm how they're feeling just to let them know that you're listening and paying full attention to them. Then you want to observe their body language. Sometimes that tells a whole lot about what's going on with that person, by observing their body language. And then here's a big part, especially whether it's a marriage or whether it's a parent and a child relationship, or, you know, a coworker relationship or a church member relationship. This last one is resist the impulse to interrupt.
Now, wow.
For me, I'm going to tell you, sometimes I have to work on that, because in my older years, when I have a thought, I want to say it right then so I won't forget it. But
yeah.
You might have to, you know, make sure you write the thought down or something like that so you won't forget it, or maybe use a keyword in your mind so you won't forget it, so that you can continue to actively listen to that person and resist that urge to interrupt. But that's the first dialect, focus attention. Okay,
now,
I'm going to go on.
Before you move on, that focused attention, that's the issue. I'm just going to say it. It's an issue with me. But, I mean, I do like when people give me the attention, right? But I was thinking that resist the impulse to interrupt. And then this is what the Lord showed me about me, is that, well, because, you know, I'm prophetic, I'm a prophet, sometimes I know what people are going to say before they say it. And so because I kind of go ahead of what they're saying, then I kind of blank that out, and then I'm thinking of what I'm going to say next. And so the Lord showed that to me, and for a while he put me on a silent consecration where he wanted me to learn to listen more. So instead of, you know, using that prophetic gift and knowing what they were going to say, but just sit and just listen. And then don't go to the next thing. Just stay and just listen. So that's very interesting for me. Focus attention. And then, you know, while I'm here on the line as the host, I'm typing what you're saying. I'm looking at everybody who's on the line right now, making sure I know who's on here, like, hey, Bishop, good to see you. And, you know, making sure I know who's on the line and all that. So I'm constantly multitasking, and I have to learn, like, how to just put that aside, you know, when I'm focusing attention. Okay, I'm done.
Very good. All right, so the next dialect is quality conversation. And all of those things that we just talked about and focus attention also relate to a quality conversation. But the key point with a quality conversation is having a sympathetic conversation. That is sharing experiences, your thoughts, your feelings, and your desires uninterrupted. So it really is about listening. So the author gives some examples about, you know, a husband and a wife situation where the wife, you know, she worked outside the home, and she would come home every day, and she would tell her husband about what was going on in the office, and she was just so frustrated about what was going on in the office. And then every day the husband would say to her, you know, you need to do this to fix the problem. So the wife continued to come home every day and to tell her husband about what went on. And he was, and he said to her, I'm not going to listen to you until you go to that job and do what I tell you to do. So you can fix the problem by going to your boss and talking to them and telling them this, that, and the other. So it got to the point to where the wife would come home and tell the husband about the frustrating things that was happening. He totally tuned her out and didn't want to listen. Well, that had a great impact on their marriage because he did not have a sympathetic conversation. And he later realized that his wife wasn't speaking to him so that he can fix the problem. The wife just wanted someone to kind of vent, to have a safe environment, to be understood, and to be heard. That's what she wanted from him. And she wanted to be able to share her experience, her thoughts, and her feelings, and her desires with her husband. And he later came to realize that that is what his wife actually wanted. Now, the next one is learning to talk. And this has to do with self-revelation. It is recognizing your own feelings and being able to share your feelings with your spouse. It's getting in touch with and being able to show your own feelings and enable a deeper conveyance of sympathy. So there are people that grew up in different situations in their households, and then they get married, and all of a sudden you have someone who may have grown up where, you know, feelings were allowed, and you were allowed to talk about your feelings, and you were allowed to work through those feelings. And then you may have had someone who grew up where feelings were never talked about. So basically, if you're a Star Trek fan, you had, you know, a Mr. Spock where feelings were never talked about, a Vulcan, and then you had a James T. Kirk where feelings were always expressed. So you may have someone who grew up in that type of environment, and, you know, each one, no matter what environment that you grew up in, has to make that self-revelation and recognize their own feelings and then be able to share those feelings with your spouse. All right. So we got two more to go. Any comments before I go to the next two, Bobby? Apostle. I'm sorry, I'm calling her by my sister name.
You are my sister. Amen. Well, I was thinking about that quality conversation. And, you know, and a lot of times, I guess, you know, that fix-it kind of mentality, I've been there, you know, me, and then I've been on the other side where it's like, I just want you to hear what I'm saying. I don't want you to try to fix it. I know God's going to fix this thing, you know. I just want to say what I'm going to say. You know, so I do understand that, that the quality conversation. And then we have to recognize, you know, if a person doesn't want, you know, your fix-it opinion or whatever on it and just want to talk, you know, to be able to recognize that and let them go ahead and just say what they want to say and not try to tune them out. And then the other learning to talk, and that's recognizing our own feelings and sharing them with others. Because, you know, sometimes we feel things, we're going through things, and, you know, and I could think of some things in my life where it's like, you know, I'm not saying that this is really what's happening, but this is how I feel right now.
Yes.
You know, I know that person didn't mean to say it to me like that, or they didn't mean to do that, but I'm feeling some kind of way. And I just want you to know I'm feeling some kind of way. So, yeah. And I think times that helps to be able to say it. And even to say it when we're in prayer. Even when we're in prayer. You know, talking to the Lord about things. You know, Lord, I'm feeling some kind of way about this. You know, help me to get out of this thing. You know, I'm giving this to you or laying it at your feet so I won't, you know, go through this. And you know, I like your Spock and your Kirk example, okay? That was very good.
You know, I really like that, what you said about going to the Lord with those feelings. When you have that self-revelation, it really is so good to go to him. And because sometimes you don't even know how you're feeling. And to go to him and you know, I think it's when it says those, when we do those moans and those groans that the word talks about and that he even recognizes those.
Hallelujah.
So I'm so grateful to him that he came as a man, even though he's God, and he understands all of those feelings that we experience. He understands that. And I'm just grateful for that.
Amen.
Okay. So the next one is Dead Seas and Babbling Brooks. So I'm going to read just a small portion out of the book on that one. So the reason that he calls it Dead Sea, he says there are two basic types of personalities, he says. And he calls the first one Dead Sea. And he says, in the little nation of Israel, the Sea of Galilee flows south by way of the Jordan River into the into the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea actually goes nowhere. So if you have a person who has that type of personality, they actually receive many experiences, emotions, and thoughts throughout the day, and they have a large reservoir of where they store this information, but yet they are perfectly happy to not talk about any of those experiences. So basically, you have a person that receives all of those things throughout the day, but they're like, meh, I'm pretty content about not talking about it. It's okay. Versus a babbling brook. A babbling brook is a type of personality where whatever enters into their eye gate or their ear gate comes out of the mouth gate. And wow, there are seldom 60 seconds between the two.
Wow.
And, yeah. So this is a person who enlightens you about all of their experiences, what they're experiencing all the time. And as I am saying this to you, you probably say, I know some Dead Seas. And then you're probably saying, I know some babbling brooks. So those are the two type of personality that he has encountered. But guess what? Dead Seas normally marry babbling brooks. And babbling brooks normally marry Dead Sea. So the Dead Sea person is totally content with the babbling brook because they don't have to say anything. And then the babbling brook is content with the Dead Sea because they get to say everything, and then the Dead Sea person just sits there and listens. So they're very content with that type of situation. So those are the two different type of personalities that he has encountered. And I thought that that was very, very interesting. So when I think about Lenny and I, even though my love language is quality time, guess what? He's the babbling brook. And I am the Dead Sea. I am content to go hours and hours without saying anything. We can go on a car ride, where we often travel in the car, and I am totally content not to say a word. And he's talking the whole time. He's talking about world events. Then if we listen to a sermon, on tape or on radio, then he wants to talk about that and how does that make you feel. And sometimes it's hilarious. And in the morning when I wake up, and some married people, you could probably relate to this. In the morning time when we wake up at 6 in the morning or 6:30 in the morning, I can barely get a word out. So in the morning, I'm the person that does like the grunts. If he asks me something, I can barely get a word out. But at 6 o'clock or 6:30 in the morning, he is ready to go. He is talking a mile a minute. And he is going. And my mom can attest to this, that she has visited us on many occasions. And he is up in the morning and he's playing music, and he'll play worship music real loud, or he's playing music very loud. He's cooking. He's doing everything. He's talking. He's wanting to have a conversation. And he has learned over the years that at 6 or 6:30 in the morning, my wife is not ready to talk. So he's adjusted himself. All right, so let's go to the last one, the last dialect, which is quality activities. So these are activities that include anything one or both of the spouses have interest in. So it really is all about shared experiences. That's what quality activities are all about, shared experiences. So, you know, whether it's a, once again, a marriage relationship or parent-child relationship, a coworker relationship or something like that, it is all about finding that one thing that you guys could do together that's a quality activity. So there have been many, many times that, you know, Lenny and I have shared experiences. Now, the thing about it is that you got to have a person that wants to do the experience and that both of you all agree to do the experience together. And sometimes the other person may not even like the experience, but they have agreed to do the experience. So, for instance, I love, 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 love going to the beach. I love going to the beach. I love sitting on the beach, just being by the water and listening to the water, and then swimming in the, you know, swimming in the ocean. I love that. Lenny does not care for the beach. He'll go to the beach because I love to go to the beach, but he doesn't like the sand or anything like that. And, you know, he can watch the water for a little bit, and after a while, you know, it's not interesting to him. But for me, I can sit there and watch the water for hours. But he'll do that. He'll go to the beach with me because it is a shared experience. So, once again, the quality activity is not so much about the activity itself, but it is about having a shared experience. So those are the five dialects: focus attention, quality conversation, learning to talk, dead seas and babbling brooks, and then quality activities. Okay. Apostle, do you have any comments before I go on to our last objective tonight, and then we'll be able to open up the line?
Okay. Well, I want to say this to the people on the line. If you want to say something, you can begin to press your number one key, and we'll just go down the queue. When we finish, of course, Pastor Mom's going to say something first. But hopefully you've written down your questions and comments, and you can just jump right in. So please feel free to press your number one key, and then we'll open up your lines when it's time to open up the lines. Amen. I've been watching the board. Lenny, Minister Lenny is here with us. So we're going to open up his line. Welcome, Minister Lenny.
Well, thank y'all so much for carrying on without me. I'm in travel status, and Mary and I are a very good team in terms of making things happen. But I can see she's already talked about focused attention, quality conversation, learning to talk, dead seas and babbling brooks, and quality activities. And she was correct about, I'm not a big fan of the beach, but because Mary loves the beach, I put my sun lotion on and get my shoes, my sandals, and only go to the edge of the water because who knows, it's like whales and stuff like that in the water. She doesn't seem to mind that stuff, you know. So, but, you know, it's a little bacteria and stuff in the water, but that quality time is what it's all about. So I know she's done a great job, and I just wanted to say that and then step back out the way.
Okay, Lenny. Good to hear your voice tonight, and hope you're having a good time with your friends.
Oh my gosh, with your friends too, Mr. Butler.
Yes. Okay. Well, have fun and traveling mercies. Thanks for stepping in for a few moments. We got to hear you tonight. We appreciate it. And Mary's doing a good job.
Awesome. So,
amen. All right. Well, we'll see you next week then. Look forward to having you back next week. Traveling mercies, angels all around you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to go ahead on and go to our last objective, which is to give examples of quality time. And I picked these things because this is something that Lenny and I, you know, will actually do. But, you know, this is not an all-inclusive list or anything like that, and I'm sure that there are some people out there that could probably think of even some much better ways to spend quality time together. So the first one is, of course, just simply eating dinner together, whether it's at home or at a restaurant with no devices, and actually, you know, just having a conversation and looking into each other's eyes and having that conversation. The next one is taking a walk. That's pretty easy to do and, you know, doesn't cost any money or anything like that. And, you know, conversing with one another while you're taking a walk, you know, just simply being together. And, you know, the activity is not that important, but it is just having the sense of being together. Then the next one is watching a TV series that you both like, watching that TV series together, and then maybe discussing, you know, what's going to happen next or, you know, just what happened during that episode. Then the next is reading a book together and discussing it. Me and Lenny have done that so many different times, read different books together, and then really, you know, discussed them, or we've listened to books on tape together and discussed, you know, the contents of the book. And I know this is Lenny's favorite. Is going to get ice cream together. There is nothing like getting in the car, going to Sonic's, just the two of us. And he orders him a shake, and I order a root beer float. And we're just sitting in the car, and we're just, you know, getting ice cream and talking. And then attending a concert or play together. All of these things are about committing minutes of your life and making moments together. You know, often so many times in our lives, you know, we can remember the negative moments that occur in our life. But this is a way of remembering and sharing good moments in our lives. You know, in marriages, in families, with our children, with our coworkers, with our church members, you know, with our friends, making that commitment to share those special moments in our lives. So those are examples of quality time. Now, I'm going to say the last part here is that if quality time is not your love language, and let's say your love language is words of affirmation, or your love language is acts of services, or your love language is receiving gifts or physical touch, we have to be aware of the barriers when our love language is different from our spouse. So when your love language is different, you really have to make that conscious effort to learn that other person's love language and then pivot and actually exhibit that love language when that's not, that love language is foreign to you, and you have to begin to speak the love language of your spouse or of your child or of your parent. You have to learn how to speak that love language. Like for me, I don't have any issues with spending quality time with people. I don't have any issue with that. But I have to learn how to give gifts. I have to learn how to give that acts of services. I have to learn how to do that and figure out what my blind spots are and go beyond those blind spots and learn how to exhibit those other love languages. So essentially, really, even though you may have one love language or you may have a combination of maybe, you know, one or two or three love languages in some form or another, it does us all good to learn all of the love languages so that we can be able to speak whatever language our spouse has, whatever language our child has, whatever language our coworkers have, whatever language our parents have, whatever language our friends have. You know, we have to learn to get beyond those blind spots and get beyond those barriers and speak their love language. Okay, so we have come to the end of our lesson today, and we have covered tonight our objectives, and they were to define quality time. Our second objective was to list those five quality time dialects. And then our last objective was to give examples of quality time. So next week, when we get ready to go to our next lesson, we will be talking about receiving gifts. So now, Apostle, I'm ready to open up the line.
Do me a favor and just go through all of the love languages, the five love languages. Words of affirmation.
Yes. Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of services. And the last one is physical touch.
Now, before I get before I get everybody open the line for Pastor Mom first, anybody else, press your number one key. And if you have any questions, any comments, this has touched you or blessed you in any way, press your number one key and use your love language and encourage the woman of God. Amen. So I told you that I was going to say something about those couples. So the couple that came to me was Boaz and Ruth. So I looked at Boaz, and I would say his was acts of service, because when he saw Ruth gleaning in the field, he had his workers to go and put food around for Ruth so that she could get it. So that's how I say he's like an act of service. And then with Ruth, I'm thinking hers, I may think something else later, but quality time, because of her relationship with Naomi, she chose to be with her mother-in-law. And, you know, she wanted to be around her so much that she said, well, where you go, I'll go. I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. So she really wanted to be around her mother-in-law. Quality time. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Amen. I love that. I love that. Yes. And you know what? I would absolutely agree with that as well. We'll see if anybody else agrees with that.
Okay. I was like, oh, I'm so glad I got that.
I mean, that's very perceptive.
You know, that may help me to, you know, see other things. And then when you were talking about, let me see, one of the last things, you know, understand other people's quality activity. And like you were talking about giving gifts, and you want to get better at that. And I was thinking about our nieces, Joy and Amber, and their mom too, Pastor Price. But, I mean, they know how to give gifts in such a special way. It's like they purpose to see what people want as gifts.
Yes, they were going to be the topic of discussion next week.
Okay.
Because they are
phenomenal.
They are a prime example of gift giving.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, because they'll go someplace and they'll say, Aunt Barbara would look so good in this. And, I mean, and they send stuff, you know, and they get such great prices when they do it. So just really good gift givers. Amen.
Yes,
okay.
I agree.
So amen. Amen. And I want to be better, too. You know, because they're so good, I was like, I want to do that too, you know, with other people. Okay, so let's go to something is happening. I'm getting some bad feedback, and I don't know why.
Well, I can
hear
you just fine.
Oh, good, good. Okay, so we're going to open a line for Pastor Mom. And I thank you all for opening up your line. Okay, I see Pastor Price and Reverend Treva, that's your line, that you have pressed your number one key. Anyone else, please feel free to do that. And I'm opening up the line now for Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine. Hello. Welcome, Pastor Mom.
Oh, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Mama.
Hi.
I'm done with you. Let's listening to y'all. Yeah, thank you for staying up and listening. I appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Amen. So, Mary, you know you got a place for it.
Yes, I do.
So I'm going to pray for you, Mama, okay?
All right, I need it.
Thank you, Mama. Well, I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful mama, a beautiful mama, a kind mama, a loving mama, a mama who recognized not only my love language, even when she didn't even know what she was recognizing, but because of the Spirit of the Lord in her life, she was able not only to recognize my love language, but all seven of her children's love language. And I know that that came from you, God. So we give you honor and glory. We thank you, Lord God, for our mother. You know, we always like to say my mama. So I thank you, Lord God, for my mama and our mama together. And I thank you for blessing her and continued blessings upon her in the name of Jesus. Blessings of health, blessings of prosperity, blessings of just good relationship, continued good relationships in the name of Jesus. And blessings of purpose and blessings, Lord God, of you just being in her life and carrying her and keeping her in the palm of your hand. I love you, Lord God, and I thank you for my mama in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. Thank you for praying for my mama and your mama, too. We listen to a song every morning. This is for your mama and my mama, too. Okay. I have really enjoyed you tonight, and I think tonight I took very good notes tonight. I didn't have so much to do for Mom tonight, but and thank you for repeating the five love languages, because I didn't get them all. I think I was doing something with Mom last week, and I didn't get them all. But I have not quite gotten it all together with just listening to, you know, just getting together. I have not processed that yet, so give me probably one more time. And I can maybe do it, okay? But as you were talking tonight, I was trying to figure out mine, and when I probably should be trying to compare mine with maybe a friend or something, but I was trying to compare mine and my husband when he was alive. But I believe this quality time was really my love language, because I love to just to, you know, just to be with him and just to give him, just for him to give me that quality time. And one of the things that I really didn't like about him was when we would go to bed many times, he would be reading a book. And I want to say, honey, let's talk. And I would say, honey, let's talk. He would keep reading the book. Even when we went on vacation or something, I said, don't take any books with you. He would eventually find a bookstore and get a book, but I wanted the attention. But I do think that he would give me the attention when we would go out to eat or something, and that would be it. But I'm telling you, he looked like he loved books more than he did his wife sometimes. But he did love gifts. I guess I love gifts too, but I think he loved giving gifts more than I did.
Yes.
Because there were times when he would say, we're not getting each other anything for anniversary, because we both agreed that we weren't going to give each other anything for anniversary, because it was so close to Christmas and we were trying to buy other people gifts. But he would always get me a gift, and sometimes I wouldn't get him a gift. And then I kind of feel a little bad.
Yes,
but anyway.
I understand that.
Anyway, as I said, I have really enjoyed all of the dialects and all of the conversation, quality conversation. These are really good. And I was trying to get some of the people that I knew to kind of come on and kind of listen. And I would kind of ask them, what is your love language? And they would say, oh, my love language has changed. Now, to me, it's something that God has put on the inside of you. Do you think you would change? Can you change with your love languages?
Well, I've heard that question before, whether or not a love language can change. And the first answer that I heard is like what you said, that it is something that inherits in you when you're born. And, you know, it stays with you for the rest of your life. But then
mm-hmm.
I've also heard that maybe you really didn't recognize the right love language, you know, when you thought that you had one. Maybe you didn't recognize it. And as you matured, and as you had more self-revelation about yourself, or maybe spent more time with God and God revealed to you, maybe the right love language was revealed to you later on in life.
Later on, uh-huh, I see.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
So I've heard both of those before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But me, I think sometimes people can have a combination of love languages. Like, I know mine is quality time, but it's also, like, my sub-love language is words of affirmation. I've learned that over the years. Now, you know, when Lenny and I first started learning about this, this was some 20 years ago that we first started learning about this. When we first started learning about this, I didn't know one love language from the other, and I certainly didn't have any self-revelation about myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And as time went on, and I've had to read, and I've read this book several times. I don't think you can just read this book one time and, you know, kind of get it all, get a whole understanding one time. I've read it several times before, and I just discovered something different every single time. But then I came to really realize that quality time is really, you know, what fills my love tank.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Let me say one other thing. So when I talk about quality time, I'm not talking about my husband spending, a lot of time with me. I don't want a lot of time.
A lot of time. All of his time. Yeah, I know.
Right. I just, if excuse me, if 1 or 2 days out of the week or 3 days out of the week he spends some time with me, I'm talking about 20, 30 minutes or so like that, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I can probably live off of that for a little while until the next time comes. Yeah. So it's not like quantity time or anything like that. It really is, you know, that focused attention, and then, you know, he can go on about his business, do whatever he got to do, stuff like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But those are some great questions, and I appreciate you bringing them up.
Oh. You're welcome. Well, thank you so much. You did a great job tonight. And I'm going to...
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Oh, you're welcome. Love you all.
Love you too. Love you too, Mama.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Now, I want to do something, and I hope it's okay with all the ones who have their number one key pressed, and I say I'm going to keep you in the queue. But if y'all don't mind, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to open the line for Bishop Aaron. Praise God. Amen. And not that he has to go to bed, but I know it's getting late for him. Bishop Barron.
Thank you. I'm trying to hold on.
You over there praying, please, I can't stay long.
I was going to hang up enough to not hang up because I just wanted to say I enjoyed the program and the teaching tonight. From another sister, I see. I gotta pull a picture of all y'all together again.
Yeah.
Because I'm a brother she hasn't met yet.
Right.
Hi to Pastor Mom and to everyone, and thank you for your prayers and everything over the last, this season I'm in right now. And I just want to say I enjoyed the program, and I guess another thing too is your love language can change. I believe in the fact that you have a love language, but when you learn better tools, as we've learned tonight, your love language improves. So mm-hmm. Your love language can change and be stronger, even as you hear great teaching like tonight. And you learn how to love in a greater way.
Yes.
So I just want to thank you for the teaching. It is really good and a blessing.
Well, thank you, Bishop Aaron. That is so perceptive. And, I always enjoy listening to you when you come on the program. And I really, really appreciate you calling in and giving me just those wonderful words of encouragement. Every time I listen to you and every time I talk to you over the program, you give me great words of encouragement. So I really appreciate that. And I agree with you too that the more we learn, yes, the stronger our love language gets. So yes. Praise the Lord.
And it's really important. I guess I've discovered in my senioring years that the love language of how people are interact with me is very important, which caused me to be more intense in my love language. And that's why what you're teaching is very important. Because sometimes we just, me and my wife have been married 38 years this year, August 4th, and our love language has to change and has to evolve because we have different stages of our life. So now I find that our love language is even stronger because of the way we talk to each other, the way we relate to each other, and things like that. We don't have the kids, we have an empty nest, you cooking tonight? No, we're going to eat a hot dog, or we eat a sandwich. Are you cooking tonight? Oh, yeah, we're having this and that and the third. And a love language just changes, I think, for the better. Just appreciate this time, Elder Kizzy, because I was waning quickly, so I won't take up much of your time. Just ask your continual prayers, and look forward to hearing more teaching in the future.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And they'll be back next week. And you know her husband. Minister Lenny, both of you ministered together on Father's Day.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. All right.
That.
So good to hear from you. And I know you've been out traveling and, you know, your family's going through bereavement right now. So go get some rest.
I will.
Thank
you so much. I love you and love to everybody, Pastor Mom and everybody.
Amen. Love you. Have a blessed night. And Lady Sabrina. Amen.
Yes, I will. Love you. Know she knocked out.
You're next.
All right. Good night.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Amen. Hallelujah. And those of you who do not know, he's a triplet, and one of his triplet sisters went home to be with the Lord 2 weeks ago. So, you know, just if you think about Bishop Aaron, just, you know, lift him up in prayer, him and his family. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. We thank you, Lord God, right now for peace, just guarding his heart and his mind, him and his entire family. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. And amen.
Let's open the line now for, we have Pastor Price, we have Reverend Treva, and we have Minister Rachel. Hallelujah. So we have Memphis, we have Tennessee, California, and New Jersey. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Amen. Pastor Price, welcome.
Oh, glory to God. God bless you, Apostle, and God bless you, Mary. I thank God tonight for you, and I just send much love to Pastor Mom and all of the precious saints in your respective places tonight. And Mary, as always, it's just been such a great blessing to hear the word on the languages of love. And I just concur with what Bishop Aaron was saying, that we needed to learn these tools. We've been given better tools in this love thing to be able to go forward. I thank God for that. And I was thanking the Lord because we've been talking about when we were talking about the weapons of our warfare, we've been talking about the Lord has been telling us about proficiency, having proficiency in walking and working in the weapons of our warfare. And he spoke to my heart tonight. He said, we also need to have proficiency in learning the language of love. And I so thank God for that. You said it would do us all good. It would do us all good to learn all of the love languages, to get beyond those blind spots and barriers. That was a word that was so profound that I think anything that we do in the Lord, we have to give attention to it. We must give attention to it and begin to let God be able to embed it down on the inside of us so that we can be able to better learn these languages of love. It's just so insightful. I just thank God. So insightful on the horizontal basis of our relationship of one to another. But also I was looking at how the Lord was ministering, how he is our great example in these languages of love. And as you were going over the ones tonight about that quality, that, you know, that quality time, the quality time dialect, I thought about how that in the book, when it says in Isaiah, it said in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, the scripture says he saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He saw the Lord. Well, since the time when Joe went to be with the Lord, in 2020, one of the things I saw God do all throughout the year of 21, and he was establishing some things in me, establishing his good and goodness. I've seen single women who I would look at their lives that were Christians, and I would see in their lives that they were marvelously taken care of by God. I mean, exceeding abundant, over and above. and had such a wonderful love relationship with God, down to that they wanted a certain, like they were going to a certain affair, and they needed this just for this one special dress that they wanted to wear. And one of my friends, and every time, invariably, if there's something she asked God for, he would do it. And so he said, Helen, he said, that's why, he said, you have had a husband. And, you know, I know I'm, you know, with my husband, Joe. He said, but I'm establishing myself in your life. I'm establishing my good and goodness as your, not only as your daddy God, your pater, your source, but also, and it might seem like, you know, somebody might get tired of me saying that, in Isaiah 54, verse 5, the word of God says our maker is our husband, not just mine, but every one of us who are in the Lord, our maker is our husband. God is our husband. And he's the very best husband that anybody could ever have. So when I thought about tonight on the vertical level, about how God is the greatest example of that kind of quality time dialect, how he will give focus, you know, he will focus, just give us attention, just call us off to himself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He'll call us off to himself because he said in his presence is fullness of joy. Even though he got all these millions of children around the world and people who have such an intimate relationship with him, yet he'll think about us, just an individual one, whosoever, and focus his attention on us and teach us how to have that attention. And then he has that quality conversation you talked about. Well, I can remember when I first came into the Lord, was especially when I was calling to the ministry and God was establishing himself, I would want to come home and share a lot of things with Joe, even some of the things that I was going through in church. And sometimes, like you said, he would want to fix it or tell me, you know, what to do. Or sometimes he would rebuke me and he would get, you know, just, you know what, you should do this and do that. And the Lord said, I'm teaching you to come to me and have that kind of conversation. Talk to me about what's going on. And so I began to learn at that time when I could get on my knees good by faith, I could get on my knees. I would just get on my knees and lay my head on the bed, just like I'm laying my head on his lap, and begin to talk, have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about, you know, what's going on. And it developed a relationship, you know, with him. And I thank God for that. And then I thought about when you talked about the Dead Sea and the babbling brooks. But there is an estuary where there is the flow that's going in and the flow that's coming out. And I believe that there is that, hallelujah, that time when we're talking with the Lord and he's talking back to us. Glory to God. And we have that interchange. Now, we may have that dynamic with other people where there is that Dead Sea or babbling brook dynamic. But with God, it's always that flow where he'll talk to us. I love it that when I go to the bathroom and I'll go in there and he'll begin to dialogue with me on something. And then he'll ask me a question. He'll say, now, what do you want me to do? He says, stop. What do you want me to do, Helen? And then he'll listen. And he becomes our very best friend. I think about how Jesus is not only our Savior, Lord, and God, but he's our very best friend, and how the Holy Spirit is called our divine friend, and he's one that gives us that dialect, that communication with one another. And then thinking about quality activity when you talked about that today, I was just worshiping God about when we came on the trip, and I know he delighted to see us do this. We were traveling last year. He allowed us to travel, and we would get we were in Atlanta, and while we were in Atlanta, we would get lost as we were driving, and then it would be almost like he was delighting to see us. He literally was delighting to see what we would see, and we would holler. All of us would holler at the same time when we got to Tyler Perry's studio. And we just happened to be turned around, but we ended up at Tyler Perry's studio in Atlanta. And we went, oh! And then when we got lost, getting ready to go out to see Pastor Carol, and we were on our way to go see Pastor Carol, and we ended up at Creflo Dollars Church. Oh, we hollered then. Then when we got in California, and we went to California for that time, and we were driving, and we were just driving, and looked like we were lost again, and we're trying to make it back home. And we got down there, and there we were at Amy Simple McPherson's church, the Fourth Scripture.
Wow.
And we hollered again. Woo! And then one of the last times, there were so many of those. Most of it was just delightful. We were coming and coming along in California, and we were we got twisted around again, and it was getting to be night, and we were in this place, and we were trying to get back on the freeway, and we ended up face to face with the Crystal Cathedral. And when we rounded that corner, I could see him. And when we rounded that corner, Joy and Amber and myself, we hollered. We were, oh, this is, we get to see the, and we got out. We had a wonderful experience to get out the car and take pictures at the, on the campus of the Crystal Cathedral where, you know, has been the site is at and everything. So I saw him do just quality things with us on the trips that we were on, quality, you know, activities. And then, when you talk about the greatest, that's why I said he's our greatest example of that quality time. You know, when I went around the world and God went around the world, I didn't go with a human being, but I went with the Lord. And how he wanted to just sit, and he said, now just see me sitting across from you at this table. I can remember being in Hong Kong in a restaurant that went all the way around at the top and was sitting there with him. And he was just like he was, I mean, just right there. Every place, you know, the presence of the Lord. So I wanted to thank God for that because, you know, we do, and it's good that he teaches us on the vertical level how to do it. And then as a result of teaching us on that vertical level, then he begins to teach us even the more how to do it on that horizontal level. And that's where I just thank God for that because his perfect love casts out fear. So, Mary, I want to thank God for that. And then lastly, so that Sister Treve and others can be able to say something, I too concur with you all about Boaz and Ruth. And I mean, when I think about them, I mean, even Boaz, both of them operated out of acts of service, both of them. Because, you know, Ruth, of course, with Naomi, and then she would just go, and she said, well, you go, I'm going to go. I'm going to stay. No matter how much you urge me, I'm going to stay with you. And she truly, honestly, her language of love shows she truly, truly loved her mother-in-law. And then Boaz, he began to even set handfuls aside for her and to be able to set handfuls. And then he was so very grateful when she was down at his feet and he woke up and found her there. And he said, that kindness, that was an act of kindness to him. That caused him to get ready to set things in order quickly so that they could be able to go and find out he wasn't the nearest kinsman, but he wanted to be her kinsman redeemer. So I just wanted to thank God for this word. Again, I believe that proficiency is important. I believe, as Bishop Aaron said, it is a way of us receiving better tools and that we just have to be able to learn these languages of love. Thank God. You said 20 years. We have some catching up to do from where you're at. We have to be able to really give attention to what you're doing. So I thank God for you and thank God for that word. And God bless you all and God bless you. Y'all have a blessed night now. Go back online. Let me go back on mute.
Amen.
Well, praise God. I really believe that you could preach that right there, Helen. I mean, I'm sorry, Pastor Helen. I'm sorry, I called you out by my sister name, girl. You can preach that. That was wonderful to really correlate that with our spiritual life and our relationship with God. And while you were talking, I could just see when Jesus was here with the disciples, how he had to relate to each one of those 12. And how he, in his relationship with each one of those 12, I believe he didn't have any blind spots. He figured out what their love language was.
he knew how to react with Peter. He knew exactly how to react with Peter, but at the same time, he knew how to react with John too. And they were on different spectrums. they were on different spectrums of the love languages. So that's wonderful.
Amen.
That you brought that out, and how God really relates to us. And, you know, he just knows us so intimately. And when we open up and yield ourselves to him, we get to know him intimately as well and get to know that true love, love, that all-encompassing love. But anyway, I was just excited while you were talking. That was wonderful.
Amen. Amen. I love that vertical and that horizontal thing. That's good. That was good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. All right. Let's open up for Reverend Treva. Amen. We still have more time. So anyone else? We'll go into overtime a little bit, but it's okay. But, you know, if you want to say something, please press your number one key. We'll open up the line. Okay. Reverend
Treva. Good evening.
Hi,
good evening, Apostle Barbara and Minister Mary and everybody. I'm still trying to figure out what language. I'm gonna just keep listening, but I wanted to encourage you. Good job, you know. I'm still trying to figure out what language. I used to be early morning. I guess sometimes my sister would still say I'm early morning, but since I've been retired, I guess I'm more midday now. I talk more in the midday, but I don't know. But anyway,
well,
great job,
Minister
Mary.
We may not have covered your language yet.
I haven't. I'll just keep listening.
Yeah, we may not have covered it yet. You may not be words of affirmation or quality time. But in the coming, you know, in the coming weeks, we'll cover receiving gifts, and then we'll cover acts of services and physical touch. And one of
services.
Yeah, you may recognize yourself under one of those.
I do a lot of service things. You know, I'm on a lot of prayer groups and. I mean, last night I was on here praying. I didn't say too much. I sent texts, but I was still here praying, and God healed me. I'm one of them kind. That's it. But it was good tonight, and I just thank God for the. I just thank God for all y'all. Y'all ministered to my heart, and so I'm on here just about every day with somebody from your family.
Right.
Oh, well, we thank
God.
So
this is the end of my week. I won't be back out to Tuesday. But, yeah. I really did enjoy myself. I always do.
Amen.
Okay. God bless y'all. I love you. I'm going to let you talk to Minister Rachel because it's real late where she is, too.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Have a good one. Love y'all.
Love you too.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Minister Rachel.
Hey, Minister Rachel.
Hi, everybody. I was just enjoying everything y'all was saying, especially about my favorite, you know, relationship in the Bible is Ruth and Boaz and Ruth. And y'all was too mad. I was like, I agree with y'all was saying because that's true. I like that story. It's so beautiful that they had expressed about three love languages in Ruth and Boaz.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And also my godmom's love language is also gifts something like that, because she always take the time to, and she be remembering our birthdays, and she made us feel so comfortable with how she tells us, let me see how to word it. Like, so we take the time to ask what we actually want. And she's very patient with us when we let her know. And it's very encouraging how God just touched her to give us exactly what we actually want. And I love her for that. I thank God for that. I thank God for her. And Pastor Mom is very encouraging. And she'll say, and God will have her say some things that will just make you keep on wanting to love the Lord when you hear it from how he have her express it and how y'all pray for her. And it's just so beautiful. And I feel all God's love flowing through y'all. So y'all all walk in that encouragement, words of affirmation. Because I be hearing it when y'all pray for y'all mom. And I love each and every one of y'all. God bless y'all.
Oh, thank you so much for giving just those wonderful words of encouragement. I always, always love to hear you talk and love to hear your children. And you are just great, great example of just a loving mother. And I know with having multiple children like you do and like my mom have and like I have, that you are always looking at your children and looking beyond what they're saying and beyond what their thoughts are to really look at how they're feeling and then taking the time to go to the Lord. I know you do this because I did it. Go to the Lord and say, okay, God, how do I show my children this child, how do I show this child love, and how do I make them feel like they're loved? And I can see that every time your children are online with us, I can just see the love that you have for your children and just how well that you are raising them up in the Lord and raising them in the way that they should go. And I tell you, you are always so impressive to me. And I just thank the Lord for you. Every single time, I just thank the Lord for you.
Thank you. God bless you. I'm still learning their love language, but when the social distance happened, my kids' love language is they like the touch. They like the hug. And when they was a little bit sad when I tried to politely do the social distance, there was no such thing as social distance in my house. There was no such thing. I said, Lord, you got to keep us healed. And he did. We went to a little closer, but it wasn't major.
One on this leg, one on the other leg, one on your hip, one on your arm, one on your back. I tried.
I'll have a little outing with the girls, and then I'll have an outing with the boys. We watch a video, and then it's the girls' turn, and then we try to make time for all of them and things like that. Because they're like, Mom, why are you not hugging us a lot like you? And then it's like, oh, God. Because we are huggers in this house.
That's
Amen.
Good. That's good. You are filling those love tanks.
Amen. Now, I want to on the spot, Minister Mary, for a moment, because of, you know, the children that you have, if you know this, like off the top of your head, your children's love language, starting from the old to the youngest.
Okay, so Lenny Jr.'s is definitely words of affirmation, definitely. Rachel's is... It's a combination. Hers is acts of services and receiving gifts. John was definitely quality time. His was quality time because he just loves spending time
you know, with me. And even when he was in college, he would just love for me to come in, and I would just sleep in his dorm room with him. He just would just say, Mom, just come up here and just spend some time with me. He loved that. And then who's next? Lindell. Lindell is words of affirmation, and I think his is acts of services and love and words of affirmation. And I think his first one is acts of services. Second one is words of affirmation. And then Marissa sometimes I think Marissa is all of them, but but she loves quality time. She loves quality time and words of affirmation, but she got a little bit of that receiving gifts, because she loves to give gifts and stuff too. So that's what I believe that she is as well. And it took me a while to figure out all of those. Amari is mm-hmm. he is definitely quality times and words of affirmation.
Amen.
And I asked him, I say, Amari, what do you think your love language is? And this is the answer that he gave me. He says, well, Grandma, I am an extrovert, and I gain energy from being around other people, so I really think quality time is my love language.
Oh, wow.
Said, okay. From an 8-year-old. That
wow.
was the answer from an 8-year-old, yes.
Amen. So, amen. I had her to do that for you, Minister Rachel. Since you know, with your kids, and you guys have just about the same amount of children, close, five and six. So, you know, more and more you'll learn, and you probably know already because. But maybe not in these terms, but you know more of what your children need. And I think about Pastor Mom, how we always said this while we're at home, and then when we went away, you know, we all moved away and everything, that whenever we came home, we always felt so special, like we were the only child.
Yes.
You know, because she always treats us, you know, very special and uniquely. So, you know, she might not have known about what the book said about the five love languages, but she always exhibited love to us.
Yes.
Amen. And we always.
That is true.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so thank you, Minister Rachel. I'll just ask. Okay. I was just going to ask Mary to pray for Minister Rachel, and then Minister Lenny has raised his number one, raised his hand here, but. Minister Lenny, hold on a second and let Mary pray for Rachel, Minister Rachel.
Lord God, I just thank you for Minister Rachel and for her children in the name of Jesus. We know that you are their God in the name of Jesus. We know that you are leading and guiding Rachel, Minister Rachel, to be the best mom that you have called her to be in the name of Jesus, raising up a generation of children that will walk, that will talk, and that will go your way in the name of Jesus.
We thank you, Father, that she is raising children that will be mighty in the land in the name of Jesus. Not mighty for the world, not mighty for the earth, but mighty for you in the name of Jesus. We praise you and we thank you, Father, now in the name of Jesus, that each one of her children is crowned with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for giving her as a mother the love, all the love that she needs to give to them. And as she gives out that love, Father, you replenish that love right back in her, into her, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you're replenishing her, that you're filling her to overflowing with your love in the name of Jesus, and that you have given her everything that she needs right now to continue to raise those children, Father, because your word says the good thing that you started in her, that you will continue to see it to the end in the name of Jesus. I bless you, Father. I thank you for making her strong in the name of Jesus. Even in the places where she feels like she's weak, I thank you that you've given her grace. Lord God, grace upon grace upon grace to be the mother that you have called her to be. I bless you, God. I bless you, God, for her in the name of Jesus. I bless you, God, for her children in the name of Jesus. I speak the blessing over her and her children in the name of Jesus. I speak prosperity over her and her children in the name of Jesus. I speak favor over her and her children in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Minister Mary. Praise God. Okay. Minister Lenny. Welcome. You got your mute on? Lenny? Okay.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes. We can hear you now.
Okay. I was saying that God has all five of the love languages. You know, because when you enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
Come on.
Into his courts with praise. That begins the quality conversation, the sympathetic conversation, because that focuses on what God himself is hearing from his people. Quality conversation focuses on what we are hearing. And the difference from quality conversation and words of affirmation, which is what we talked about last week, words of affirmation focuses on what we are saying. Quality conversation focuses on what we're hearing. Words of affirmation focuses on what we are saying. So when we acknowledge that God is the creator of the universe and that he has created us in his own image, we're having a quality conversation, and we're also acknowledging the greatness of God.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mary and I, we collaborate on these lesson plans, and now we're at the closing part where we recap the objectives. Mary, are you going to do that? Or?
Oh, yes. I've already recapped the objective.
And to tie into the next lesson, which is receiving gifts.
Yes.
Awesome. But just remember, quality conversations focuses on what we are hearing, and words of affirmation focuses on what we are saying. I know that it took a long time for me to understand that when Mary came home from work, it wasn't she would be telling me about things going on at work, and it wasn't for me to solve those problems for her, you know, but to just listen, to be sympathetic. And like it says in the book on page 63, don't forget that marriage is a relationship. It is not a project to be completed or a problem to be solved. It is a relationship.
Amen. That's good. That's good.
I wanted to say one other thing, too, before we get ready to go, is that, you know, we have so many ministers and pastors and apostles on the line and some that may listen to it in the future. You know, it is so good for, a lot of ministers go through counseling training where they, you know, are trained to listen to people. And I think that knowing these five love languages definitely helps in the ministry as well. So I just wanted to say that. And I'll probably recap that as we go along, but definitely knowing the five love languages helps in the ministry as well.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to say a few things here, and I'll be back, and both of you can give closing remarks if you like to, and then we'll have closing prayer. I just thought about a scripture that went along with what you just said, okay. I'll find out what that scripture is in a little bit, but it says that they will know that you are mine by how you love one another, or how you love each other. And I think, you know, with this love language, you know, of course we'll know how to love people because the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our hearts. You know, has shed love abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, you know, and that's the only way it can truly happen. And the Lord wants us to love on each other so people can look and see and know that we are His by how we love one another. Amen.
That's John 13:35.
Thank you so much. You got it? Read it for us.
Okay. Jesus said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Amen. Amen. And there's so many dimensions to that love, and I just know these five love languages are in there as well. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And with that said, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation, and then we will talk about the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcast and have Mary and Lenny to come back and give us closing remarks and closing prayer. Praise God. Amen. So this is all about love. Glory to God, all about love. In John 3:16, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So the Father God sent Jesus to show us what love is, to live love, to demonstrate love, to be love. Hallelujah. And all of that love is so that we can be one with him, so that we can be born again, so that we can be saved so we can be transformed into his image and his likeness, hallelujah, and have that relationship, that love relationship with him, not just in the cool of the evening like Adam and Eve did, but every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every heartbeat and every breath, hallelujah, Jesus came for that, to have that kind of love, amen, living on the inside of us. And so Romans 10 and 9 tells us how we get that love, all that love that's waiting for us, how we get that love is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. So it sounds so simple to confess with your mouth, which is saying a prayer, believe in your heart, is to make a choice to believe what the Bible says, to believe what Jesus said. Hallelujah. You make that choice. It's a choice because none of us were here 2,000 years ago. And so we have to read the Bible and make the choice. And once you make that choice in your heart that you choose to believe what the Word of God says and you say it out of your mouth, then all of a sudden your confession, your prayer is made into salvation, and you are saved. Now, can't hardly wrap your mind around all of that. You just have to believe. It's called amen, hallelujah. And believe me, faith works, hallelujah. And so we're going to pray this prayer together, and you will instantly be born again. You will instantly be saved. So repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and God raised you from the dead. Forgive me all my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your way. And help me to follow you. And now I know, according to the Bible, I am saved, hallelujah. I'm born again. Heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Now, I stopped with a hallelujah in the middle. Somebody got saved. Amen. Now, that may be somebody in the future. You may be in 2055 or in the year 3000 and you just ran into this recording and you said that prayer. Whenever you say it, you're saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we want to pray for you right now. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to fill them right now to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with power. Hallelujah. Power to live right, power to walk right, power to even be able to read the Word of God or even listen to the Word of God, understand it by your Spirit. We thank you for that great power that you've placed upon them right now. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. And then, hallelujah, I'm hearing something. I'm going to go with it. That someone is experiencing a headache right now, pain in their temples. We lift that up to you, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for healing them right now in the name of Jesus, taking that pain out of their, around their temples, around their head, out right now, and all that it stands for. We send the blood of Jesus to the seed, the source, the alpha, and the genesis of it. Hallelujah. And that your blood is purging and cleansing it out and bringing forth healing, health, and wholeness. Right there it is. It just lifted. Right now, in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Hallelujah. And all that stands for is healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord God, right now in Jesus' mighty and holy name. We bless your name. We bless your name, Lord God. And so those of you who just received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to learn and to grow. You can go to a Bible-believing church, and that will help you as well. And in addition to that, you can learn and grow through the East St. Louis Christian Center Church, as well as Get'em Radio Family of Broadcast. So this is the Get'em Radio Family of Broadcast. We meet every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. And all of the Get'em Radio Family of Broadcast are on the same phone number. And it's 516-418-5699. So on this Sunday, which is Resurrection Sunday, also known as Easter Sunday, we'll be meeting at 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, and every of that as well, as the Lord wills. And then on Monday, we have our Bible teaching, and that is from 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. And we call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. And you can really learn from those Bible teachings. On Tuesday, we have prayer, and we call it Praying in Tongues Tuesday. So it's every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. And we have four people who volunteer to pray in tongues for 15 minutes at a time, and then we have interpretation of tongues. It is absolutely life-changing. Amen. On the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, we have a healing service. And we call it prophetic healing. We just had one last night, and it was awesome. People were getting healed right on the air. Amen. Our next one will be Wednesday, May the 11th. Wednesday, May 11th. So mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Amen. Wednesday, May 11th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then tonight is our Thursday edition of God in the Mist, Get'em Radio. And it's kind of I don't know if I could call it a talk show, but it's kind of like that. It's whatever God wants it to be. And so we have quite a few topics. And this month, our topic is the five languages of love. Hallelujah. So we're learning and growing by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And so on Thursday nights, we're 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Amen. So come, learn and grow with the Get'em Radio Family of Broadcast. Amen. Amen. Now let's get back to Ministers Mary and Lenny Yarbrough, so you guys can have closing remarks, and when you guys close us out in prayer.
Well, I just wanted to go real quickly. I just wanted to go real quickly since Mary did the lion's share today, and say that Mary is a wonderful woman, an amazing person, and an awesome wife. And I just appreciated that she went ahead on and took care of business tonight and represented. And with that being said, turn it over to her to finish up.
Amen. The 2 or 1.
Well, thank you guys for, thank you, Lenny, for those beautiful words. Thank you, Apostle, for having us on tonight and for this month. And thank you, everyone that was listening tonight. I just really appreciate each and every one of you. And I value just your time
and I value your comments. I value your prayers. I value your words of encouragement, and I really do appreciate everyone. So stay tuned for next week, where the next love language that we will talk about will be I just went right out of my mind, and I'm
receiving.
Thank you, receiving gifts. So with that, let's say a word of prayer. God, we just thank you for just being in the midst of us tonight, for opening our eyes, fulfilling our hearts, and just being with us, Lord God. We just praise you. Bless everyone that was on the call tonight and everyone that will be on the call and hear this even in the future. We love you, God, and we thank you that your word will continue to go forth in our lives. Let us continue to develop and grow in your love. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'll say a quick prayer for Mary and Lenny. We just pray, you know, for the virtue that has flowed out, even Lenny, as you, I know you're ministering there in Houston, the way that the Lord has you to do it. And then Mary, that the virtue that has flowed to you guys would just be replenished right now without limits, measures, or bounds. And we thank you for refreshing, renewing, and restoring both of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you all.
Amen.
Have a blessed rest of the night.
Y'all tell the people them, don't.